Welcome to today's audiocast from Aviation International News, the most respected source for business aviation news.
This is AIN Online News Editor Chad Trotvetter reporting. What a difference a year makes. At last year's EAA Air Venture, Eclipse Aviation founder, president, and CEO Vern Rayburn made a dramatic entrance to the show aboard the Eclipse concept jet. At this year's show that started yesterday in Oshkosh, however, Rayburn made a surprise exit, announcing that he was stepping down from the very light jet manufacturer. AIN senior editor Matt Thurber was on hand at Air Venture and spoke with Rayburn just moments after the stunning announcement. Here's what Rayburn had to say.
Well, as I said at the press conference, the debt investors, and this is an important differentiation. There really are two classes of investors within Eclipse. There's the equity investors, and there are debt investors. Debt investors are basically, they loan us money. Equity investors who buy shares in the company tend to think in terms of value creation, tend to think in terms of long-term value creation, whereas debt investors tend to be far more short-term, and they really don't think so much about value as just how am I going to get my money back. They've been unhappy with the performance of the company, and so I get the blame for that, and so part of the deal to bring more money into the company was they demanded my resignation, and so to make sure that the Eclipse can continue, to make sure that we were able to fund the company, I agreed with that demand, and here we are today.
Is it time for Eclipse to transition to a more operationally focused company?
Well, we've been making that transition for 2 years. We obviously have not succeeded at the rate that we needed to, but you know, we hired a chief operating officer, Peg Bilson, 2+ years ago. And that was one of her primary objectives, was to, you know, drive the operational excellence and transition of the company. Clearly that hasn't happened at either the level or the rate that we wanted it to happen, that we believed it could happen, and that's part of the underlying problem here. So we knew that Eclipse was going to have to go through this transition. We planned for it, but we haven't executed completely on it. And so, therefore, that's where, you know, a reasonable part of the problem. I think that there's two really crucial points that need to be made at this point, at this juncture, though. The first one is the product has proven to be a spectacular product. We don't have a single customer that, once they actually get the airplane, doesn't just love it, because it does exactly what we said it was going to. I mean, in fact, you know, it continues to improve both from a reliability standpoint and a capability standpoint. We've got serial number 266 here at the show, which is the first production version of the aircraft with the Garmins and all the changes, what we call Avio NG 1.5. And it really delivers on the promise and the IOUs, and you know, we're in the process of starting to upgrade all the aircraft in the entire fleet. I think the second point is that even with having not achieved our operational objectives, the simple fact of the matter is we've done more than the experienced companies have. We delivered more than twice the number of aircraft that Cessna has in the same period of time. We've done more and accomplish things that all the experts, all the people who knew everything there was to know, said could be done or would be done. And so, you know, it's a true bittersweet experience in the sense that we, no matter how you cut it, we've changed the industry, we've delivered on a lot of the promise, and we're now starting to deliver on the full promise. And we've delivered a lot of airplanes. I mean, most companies consider themselves to be wildly successful after delivering 200 airplanes. It took Cirrus a long time to get to 200, took Cessna a long time to get to 200 on anything, and here we are really only effectively 18 months later, and we've got 230 plus in the field, and by the end of the year that'll be well over 400 and probably closer to 500. And so, even with all the problems, we've accomplished more than has ever been accomplished. And I would add one other point that I think is really, really crucial. We've also managed to introduce the safest airplane. I'm not going to quote numbers. Anybody who wants to can find them in the NTSB database. But there has not been another Part 23 aircraft introduced into the fleet in decades that has as safe a record as we already have. We have nearly 30,000 fleet hours know, we haven't had a single accident. Now, knock on wood, you hate to say that out loud because, you know, it will happen. I'm not trying to say that we've built an accident-proof airplane. That would be the stupidest thing I could ever say. But the simple fact of the matter is that we have totally confounded the experts that said, you know, claimed this is going to be the next doctor killer. That was one brilliant quote from one individual. It's the sound of freedom. And so, you know, I'm extremely proud of that record, and we continue to strive and work very hard to ensure that that record stays as good as it possibly can.
So personally, for you, was this a tough decision?
It was a very, very tough decision. I said that in the conference. I mean, this is not a decision that I had planned for. This is not a decision that I'd anticipated. It's not a decision that I even really wanted to make. But one thing that I wanted to do was, without any question, was to make sure that the company could continue forward, to make sure that the thousands of people, both that work at Eclipse and own Eclipses, had an opportunity to continue to achieve the greatness that I know this company is going to achieve. And so if that required me to step aside, then I was more than willing to do that. And that became pretty clear pretty fast that that was going to be necessary. And so from that point on, it really became more a decision of a process of how to affect the change, because there wasn't any way that I was going to stand in the way of this. He'll be out of fuel now. He can only do that twice. Rival show.
Does Roel Pieper have the right background and experience to take on the role of CEO?
Well, first off, very important point, Roel is acting CEO. So this is not a long-term or permanent position. Does Roel have the experience with all the things that he has done to come into this kind of situation and add value? Without any question, yes. Is he going to be the guy who drives the company on a long-term basis? He's been very blunt. Neither does he plan to, nor does he desire to do that. And so there will be a search for a new CEO, and exactly who and what and when, I won't be part of, and so I can't comment and predict on that.
As the company works towards break-even and positive cash flow, and continues to grow and deliver airplanes, mm-hmm. Does this mean that both the debt and equity investors will eventually see a return on their investments?
Well, the debt investors will be paid back. I mean, that's the nature of those kinds of investments. It's a loan. It's like paying off your mortgage. It's like paying off your car. So in their case, it's a very, very straightforward transaction. In the case of the equity investors, the company will at some point in the future go public, and that's typically how startups, the equity investors are repaid, is they have a path to liquidity. And so they can, once the company is public and once their shares are registered, without getting into all the nuances of how the SEC treats this, then they'll have an ability to sell their shares, and hopefully they'll be able to sell their shares for what they invested, and more hopefully they'll be able to sell their shares for a significant return on their investment. So it's a very different dynamic for the two different groups. And that's something I've noticed that this industry really doesn't understand, is the differences in how companies are invested in. And there tends to be this view of, well, what's the break-even point to pay back the investors? Those are not correlated in the slightest. If you have a military defense program where the government's funding it, break-even point, those kinds of things are valid. In this case, it's not like we're at break-even point, so here's your money. It doesn't work that way. And so, both groups of investors, we believe, will not only see a return on their capital or a return of their capital, and in the case of the notes, that's basically all they get plus interest. But in the case of the equity investors, we think that they can have, in most cases, a significant return on their investment.
And does Vern Rayburn still have some equity in the company?
Yes, I do.
What are Eclipse's biggest challenges right now?
Well, I think they're no different than they were today than they were yesterday, and that's to continue to ramp the production of the aircraft. We've made it very clear. We've made it, you know, brutally clear that the key to profitability at Eclipse is to get to a high rate. We've proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, even though there are still some people who, you know, have a shadow of a doubt just because they can't see past the end of their nose, that the market is there to support a high rate of production. I think that's becoming even truer with what we see happening on the international side of the equation. In some ways, I think, especially for the next few years, that the international demand is going to be significantly higher than the North American or domestic demand, both because of the economic conditions here in North America and because internationally there is the weak dollar, which makes this aircraft very, well, makes all American aircraft very attractively priced. But I think a huge, huge issue, and it's one, frankly, that we're emphasizing strongly here at the show, is the rest of the world has dealt with very, very high fuel prices for decades. Americans are, to be kind of brutally blunt, or sort of fat and lazy when it comes to fuel, and we think that we have some God-given right to pay a dollar a gallon for fuel. Well, we don't, and guess what? All that's happening is we're just catching up with the rest of the world. And so the world loves this airplane from a fuel efficiency standpoint. And frankly, things like Mustangs and Embraers are starting to really suffer because of their lack of fuel efficiency. And so for Eclipse, the path forward to success is very straightforward and very clear and very simple. It's continue to push up in production rate, which will bring the cost down, which will help get the company to break even and positive cash flow. It's continue to work on service and support and reliability. Like all new products, you know, we're going through some teething problems, and some of that, most of those have been solved. There's still some left to be solved, and continue to provide a great support experience for customers. So it's pretty much blocking and tackling. There's no brilliant, insightful, strategic thing that has to be done here. It's just build what is a great product, build that rapidly and reliably. We're very proud of the quality we're starting to get. 266 out here, which is the first Avio NG 1.5 aircraft, came down the production line. Significant number of changes in the airplane. Its very first flight, it passed every single one of the production flight tests, with one exception. It took a 15-minute flight to clear that one exception. So in one full flight and 15-minute flight, that aircraft was done for a brand new airplane. Most other companies can't even come close to achieving that. So we're very satisfied, very proud of the quality we're building the aircraft, and it's just a matter of continuing to do that.
How has the production man hours changed up through number 266? Has it come down dramatically?
No, we are still ramping man hours. So we're still in a training cycle. So we're not seeing the unit cost on a man-hour basis come down because we're continuing to invest to drive to a level of production. And so, you know, that investment curve is ahead of the learning curve right now. So we're not seeing the immediate reduction in man-hours, but we expect as we start to stabilize at rate, those man-hours do come down significantly. And that's pretty normal manufacturing 101.
So what's next for Vern Rabern?
I don't have the foggiest idea. This is, as I said, not something that has been planned or anticipated. And so what I'm going to do and what I'm going to do next and how I'm going to do it is all very much a great big TBD. I only know that I'm going to take off in about an hour and fly to Idaho and see if I can nail some big brown trout for the next few days.
So do you get to take an Eclipse home with you?
Not really. I will have access to an Eclipse. I will get to use one, but I don't get to take one home, so to speak. Put it under my pillow.
Well, thank you very much. We're going to miss having you to talk to.
You mean beat up on?
Thank you for listening to today's audiocast from Aviation International News. For the latest business aviation news, go to www.ainonline.com.